And Jimmy, we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we're now joined by a very special guest.
We are. It is Shane Matthews. He was a former star quarterback at Florida. He was Steve Spurrier's first starting quarterback at Florida. He was a two-time SEC Player of the Year. He has also coached a lot of high school football. He has done sports talk in Florida, and he also does podcasts. Shane, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are y'all?
Very well. Thank you for taking the time to join us. And I got to get your take on this. Obviously, Alabama's got a heck of a team. Florida played them a wonderful game, but what were your thoughts when Florida was down 21-3 to Alabama in the first quarter?
Well, my thoughts were that's exactly how I thought the game was going to go before it started. I didn't think we had much of a chance. But I tell you what, you got to give our coaching staff and our kids on the team a lot of credit. You know, they could have folded their tents down 21-3 after one quarter and number one team in America in the building. But, man, we stuck to the game plan, and Dan Mullen called a tremendous game. I thought Emory Jones played very well. I think Ty Grantham made some adjustments after the first quarter. We played way too much man covers, and we just couldn't cover them. Mm-hmm. Played a lot of zone, kept it in front of us, and obviously made it a ball game.
I got to get your opinion on this, because a year ago, Florida was a pass-happy team. This year, run-oriented, in part because of the quarterback situation. What does that say about Dan Mullen, that he could coach a team that throws a lot one year, runs a lot the next year, and be so productive?
Well, I think Dan's a smart football coach. He puts his players in a position to be successful. But you got to remember, the two quarterbacks that played the last 2 years, Kyle Trask and Felipe Franks, weren't Dan Mullen recruits. And if you look across the roster now, all the quarterbacks on the Florida roster now are Dan Mullen recruits. They're all the same guy. You know, the dual threat, better runners than throwers. And that's what he had at Mississippi State as well, and had with Tebow at Florida. So, you know, Dan's a tremendous football coach, but he did adapt extremely well last year.
Shane, really appreciate your time. Tell me, in the time since you were in Gainesville, what has it been like to, through the years, just get the chance to connect with the several Florida quarterbacks that have followed in your footsteps?
Well, I'm from Mississippi, but I made Gainesville my home base when I started playing pro ball, and I was lucky enough to play 14 years. So I've been in Gainesville pretty much ever since I graduated in 92. Try to stay as close to the program as I can. And, you know, we got some really good quarterbacks that have come through this program, obviously. And I think we got two good ones right now in Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson, the freshman. I guess he's considered a freshman, even though he played last year. I lose track with all the COVID stuff, but we got some good guys on this roster. Richardson has a chance to be special on down the road, but I thought Emory played a heck of a ball game against Alabama.
Tell me, going into this matchup, without a doubt, it's no longer what it once was in terms of Tennessee and Florida and the impact that that almost always had on who won the Eastern Division. What do you think there might be in terms of a hangover effect for Florida from that game against Alabama? And what do you think in terms of a Tennessee team that no longer is the circled date on the calendar that it used to be?
Well, it's definitely changed. There's no question about it, because this was the game. It was a tremendous rivalry back in the 90s especially. But, you know, having a hangover, it could happen. But, you know, hearing the comments of our players after the game about how they want to see Alabama again, I mean, there's a lot of football to be played, and you got to play a lot of games to get to Atlanta. So I think that, you know, it being a night game, I think we'll have a great atmosphere as well. But I think they'll come out and play well. I mean, it's still a big, big SEC game, and anytime Tennessee comes to town, it's a lot of fun.
I guess Shane Matthews, former Florida quarterback. Shane, would you say that the Florida defense is considerably better than it was a year ago?
Yes, and I point to one position mainly, defensive tackles. We went to, I like to joke around, we went to our farm system there in Auburn, Alabama, and we picked up two transfers to come in and play. And we also got a big transfer at defense tackle from Penn State. So those three guys, going into last year, I watched a couple of scrimmages, and I walked out of those scrimmages going, man, our defensive line just is not SEC caliber. And it actually happened. We struggled there all year long. And I think that had a lot to do with how we played on the back end last year. But this year so far, I mean, we only played three games. But, I mean, heck, we held Alabama to under 100 yards rushing, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I think the three big defensive tackles that we got in the transfer portal have definitely helped us be a better defense.
Through the years, I've thought that one of Tennessee's problems on offense against Florida was Tennessee's receivers could not beat press coverage. How good are Florida's cornerbacks or defensive backs in press coverage?
Well, time will tell. We do have a really good one in number five, Kyir Elam. He's a projected All-American. He's legit. The other one's kind of been a rotation of different players. You know, Dan Mullen and Ty Grantham like to rotate a lot of players in the backfield there. So we'll see. You know, Tennessee can put pressure on you. We know they got good athletes on the outside, and with Josh Heupel's system, with the tempo that they play at, they're going to get people open. They're going to move the football. It's just, I think when you play these type of offenses, you got to have that bend but don't break mentality, hoping they get a, you know, you miss a few throws, you get a holding call. Guy jumps off sides because of crowd noise, backs him up and puts him in a long yardage situation. But it'll be a test for our guys because we do know Tennessee wants to throw the football.
What do you think in terms of Coach Heupel, the system that he has implemented, and what he hopes to do in building this Tennessee program back to what it used to be?
Well, I don't know Josh at all, but I like what I saw what he did at UCF, and obviously he's coached at a lot of other different places throughout the country. I think he's going to do a good job there. You know, obviously that system puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the defense, as we've seen what they've done at Ole Miss. It's the same exact system. But if you go that fast, you better make some first downs, because you could easily go three and out in less than a minute and put your defense back on the field. So, I think he's, you know, if they give him some time, I think he can build it a pretty good program there. You know, and for the conference, it'd be great to have Tennessee back being really, really competitive.
Shane, I thought that Emory Jones played well against Alabama, but I do wonder, do you think that Alabama's offense is better with Emory Jones or Anthony Richardson, or do you think they should try to use both throughout the season?
I think you're going to see both, actually. You know, I coached against Anthony Richardson for 3 years in high school. Mm-hmm. And what Gator fans have seen is what I saw on tape when he played the lesser talented teams. But when he played the team that I helped coach and another couple of teams in the area that were really good, solid football teams, he struggled. So, now, it's not fair to judge what he did in high school. He's going to be a phenomenal player for us. But Dan Mullen has done a great job with him, because he only asked him, in all his passes that he's thrown, he's only asked him to actually read stuff one time, and that was against South Florida. Mm-hmm. And Dan talked about it in his presser, that he didn't set the protection right. He missed the hot read. He missed the primary read, but he scrambled for 18 yards. And it was a hell of a play. You know, the fans don't see what he missed. Yeah. You can't miss those assignments when you play SEC caliber teams. You will get killed, and you'll put your team in a bind. So, you know, in all the deep balls that he's thrown have been basically just play action boots, not even having to read anything and just launch it. And they've been, you know, schemed up where guys are open. But he's a freak of an athlete. I mean, I think he's a Cam Newton type guy, probably a lot faster than Cam, maybe even a little bigger. But I think it's going to be Emory Jones' team. I think you'll see Anthony play a lot throughout the course of the year. I don't know if he'll play this week because, you know, those hamstrings, you just never know. You can feel great in practice, but as soon as you have to burst one time, you can snap it and you'll be out for the year. So it'll be interesting to see how they play him this week.
He can do backflips with a bad hamstring, can you?
Well, I can't do a backflip on a trampoline, Jimmy, much less, you know. But here's the thing. I snapped my hamstring when I was with the Bears. I had like a 17-yard burst down the sideline against the Minnesota Vikings, and it felt like somebody shot me as I stepped out of bounds. And I tried to play the next week, felt pretty good. But as soon as, you know, the three technique or a defensive end comes free and you have to make that subtle movement and burst and try to get away, that's when it snaps. So, you know, doing the backflips, I don't think it even bothers his hamstring. It's just if he gets in the game – and he takes off running and tries to outrun somebody, that's where it could snap on him.
Shane, you played for a handful of teams in the National Football League, and I'm wondering, what was it like to just be a part of those football communities Chicago, Washington, and Buffalo.
Well, it was cold, I can tell you that. You know, I like I said, I was lucky to play 14 years, I think five or six different franchises. Didn't play a whole lot, lasted only because of my mind, not my ability. But it was fun, man. Just, you know, that's a kid's dream to be able to do that and to do it as long as I did. I was very blessed. And, you know, it was great. I enjoyed every city we were in. My kids loved it the most because they were all pretty young when I was playing, and they would go to school in all those cold weather cities until Thanksgiving, and then they would come back to Gainesville after Thanksgiving and finish up. So they got to experience the snow and all that good stuff. But it was fun. Playing 14 years was a long time.
And what was it like to watch your son follow in your footsteps and wear that number 9?
Well, he's retired now. That's what we like to call it. He after 2 years under Dan Mullen, he hung it up. Unfortunately, he got his mom's height. He's only 5'10". I wish he would have been a lot taller. He was way better than me. He was a 2-time All-State quarterback and just a really good player, but had small offers, very smart kid academically, and Mullen gave him the preferred walk-on, I guess, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and he took it and, you know, got to go to the Orange Bowl and, I guess, the Cotton Bowl last year. Really liked it, but he's trying to graduate early and building construction, and I'm all for it.
I guess Shane Matthews, a former Florida quarterback. Shane, my memory's not always good, but when Steve Spurrier took over the Gators, you won the quarterback job. And if I recall correctly, I don't know that you were favored to win the job, were you?
No, I was trying to transfer, honestly.
Oh.
But my dad played at Ole Miss with Archie, and my mom was a cheerleader there. But they had a rule that, you know, once you go there, you're going to stay there. So I didn't know who Steve Spurrier was when he got the job, and I watched his last bowl game at Duke, and I was like, man, this is what I did in high school. So I was buried 5th on the depth chart, maybe 6th, depending on which day of the week it was. And, you know, I didn't get in any scrimmages the first 2 weeks of spring ball when he was here in 90. And John Reeves was our tight end coach. I always got sent down to throw to the tight ends, and John Reeves basically went up to Coach Spurrier and said, you need to give this guy a shot. He's extremely accurate and all this kind of stuff, and played pretty well. Then we had to do our spring game because they were tearing up the turf. We had to play over in the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, and I threw 3 touchdowns there. And after that, Coach Spurrier named me the starter, and I was lucky enough to play for him for 3 years.
What do you think it meant to your college career that you had the chance to play for Steve Spurrier?
Oh, if I hadn't played for him, I'd be selling insurance, or I would have never played in the National Football League. You know, it's all about being given an opportunity and taking advantage of it. And, you know, you see so many players, whether it's in the NFL or college, that they're pretty good players, but for whatever reason, they don't get an opportunity. You know, I tell people now, when I signed my scholarship with Florida, I was 6'2" and a half, 165 pounds. And nobody would recruit me. I would have been like a negative 1 star coming out of high school, I guess, at that size. But, you know, and I was only 180 pounds when I went to the combine. So I couldn't gain weight. But, you know, it's all about being given an opportunity. There's a lot of good players out there. And, you know, I think y'all's the quarterback that Heupel and they were playing, the Hooker kid. I think he's the much better player. I hope they play Joe Milton for the Gator Nation.
Why do you think that? Because he's not accurate?
Yeah, he's got all the measurables, but I'm a guy that maybe it's because I wasn't very big. Maybe my son wasn't very big, but I could care less about arm strength. Give me somebody that can throw completions. That, you know, I try to tell everybody because I do a lot of quarterback camps, and, you know, but the object of playing quarterback is throw completions. You know, it drives me nuts when you have a shallow cross or a curl route and the quarterback zings it in there and it goes off the receiver's hands and everybody's, well, it hit his hands, he should catch it. No, it's the quarterback's fault. Throw a catchable football, accurate, catchable football. That's the goal of playing quarterback. And I just think the Hooker kid does that, and I don't think Joe Milton does.
Shane is.
But like I said, I hope Joe Milton plays for our sake.
As Jimmy was talking about you before you came on the show, pointed out how long that you've been coaching in high school. And I'm just wondering, How impressive are the offensive systems, and of course you're a part of this, that are in place in high school at this day and age, and how different is the sport itself from when you were making your way through Mississippi high schools on your way to Florida?
Oh, it's definitely changed. I mean, I never played out of the shotgun. I didn't even play out of the shotgun in college. I used to beg for the shotgun. It was Spurrier he didn't believe in it. But yeah, it's the offensive systems have changed so much. It's about spreading people out and getting the ball into playmakers' hands in space. That's what you see in college football. If you watch the Florida-Alabama game last week, I thought the first quarter, Bill O'Brien did a tremendous job getting his athletes in space against our guys. And I don't care who you are, it's hard to tackle these days. And that's what you see in high school football. Most of the time, you put your best player at quarterback, let him run around and make a play when things break down, and that's kind of where college football's going.
How much do you enjoy being a part of that, having that connection to the game as well as just as developing so many young men?
Oh, I love high school. I love Friday nights. I'm not coaching anymore. I shut it down once my son graduated to do other stuff. But I love calling plays. I love scheming. I feel like I miss my calling because that's something I'm really, really good at. But I always wanted to coach college ball. But I ended up playing too long to get that opportunity. And plus I wanted to be able to see my kids grow up. These college coaches, I've coached several of the Florida Gator coaches' kids, the last 10 or 15 years. And I bet they've only seen their kids play like 3 times on Friday nights. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there is no way I'm missing my kids' games.
Hey, Shane, a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Really do appreciate it. Thanks for your insight. And hopefully we'll get a chance to visit with you again in the future.
Yes, sir. Anytime. Y'all take care.
Thank you.
You as well.
Shane Matthews, former star quarterback at Florida, fifth or sixth string. I didn't know he was that far down the totem pole. A 2-time SEC Player of the Year under Steve Spurrier.